I'm Michelle from the Starling Tribune, a proud member of the Gonna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual host. Check out all the other podcasts at GonnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
This is PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture. We're a geek podcast for geek culture, so are you ready to get your geek on? Sit back, relax, step out of your TARDIS and warm up your chimichangas, because this is PopX Cast.
You are listening to PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture.
Captain's Log Supplemental.
PopX Cast.
Hasta la vista, baby.
And welcome, everyone. This is PopX Cast, episode number 51, coming to you on this March the 5th, 2017. And we have a full house tonight as Austin Burke and Lindsay Badger and Mike are all joining me. Team PopX is reunited. Let our powers convey.
Yes.
So we got some people hanging out with us right now over in the chat room. We got Luke and Carlos are hanging out with us. What's up, guys? Send this out on your Twitter, your Facebooks. I don't know. Just send smoke sniggles up to heaven if you want to. Let everybody know that we are live here on PopX tonight. Summon your peoples. So everybody have a good week. Austin, Lindsay, what's new? What's going on?
Oh, man. This was an action-packed weekend for me family-wise. We had cheer and soccer and video games and all kinds of fun stuff going on.
So. Wait, you're a soccer mom?
I am officially a soccer mom. I am officially a soccer mom starting.
Well, now isn't that just interesting?
That's very interesting.
Austin?
I had a great weekend, guys. I watched Logan. I sat and pondered about Logan. Cried a little bit about Logan, and then I got really excited, and then I cried some more. So that was like, I think 3 days worth. That was my weekend.
So you cried all weekend?
Sounds very emotional.
Because just how daggone good and amazing. Okay, we'll get into that. We'll talk about it later.
Oh my gosh, you're so funny. Well, I had some family in too this week, and it seemed like it was just kind of a good week for family stuff, and we had a lot going on. And so, yeah, I went and saw Logan as well on Thursday night with a bunch of us. We had like 14 of us hanging out, and I didn't use the hashtag YoPopX, but I forgot to get the picture.
You forgot to load the picture, but it was cool seeing you with your full crew. It looked like a lot of fun. Yes.
Yeah, that's the nerd crew. But so let's get this thing kicked off on the right foot here, guys. Hey, guys, welcome to PopX, where science fiction meets pop culture. I'm your host, Joe Burke, Central Florida's seasoned comic book nerd and retro enthusiast. We'd like to welcome everyone joining us live in the PopX.live and Geeks.live chat room. Come hang out with us and join the conversation at popxcast.com.
And I am Austin Burke, the Appalachian Geek at Heart. If you guys missed last week's episode 50, The History of Comics Part 5, The Modern Millennial Age, check our official website at popxcast.com for this and other great past shows from PopX.
And I'm Lindsay Badger, your favorite geeky okie. Be sure to head over to our Google Play or iTunes after the show and click that subscribe button. Catch up on some amazing shows from PopX Archive. And hey, while you're there, we'd certainly appreciate you showing us some geeky love by leaving a 5-star rating and review.
All right. Thank you, Lindsay Badger. Don't go anywhere. News is coming up right now.
Extra, extra, read all about it. This is PopX News, coming to you live right here on PopXCast.com.
Are we all so bad?
I don't know, man. I'm just at a loss right now. I can't even. I love you. I love you, Mike. Oh my God. Mike makes this show so fun. My goodness. So, okay, leading us at the top of the news headlines this week, we got some really juicy Marvel news coming your way. Marvel's The Inhumans is coming to IMAX theaters in September. We're talking September 2017, just a few months away. with a debut leading to an ABC TV series, has rounded out its entire cast, adding five actors to the already impressive take on the royal family of superpowered Marvel Comics characters. Now, just look at that lineup. Holy cow. Oh, hey, that's Haresh from Heroes, isn't it? Yeah. That's
I think
him.
So.
Yeah. Wow.
Nice. I approve.
That's going to be great. Oh, my gosh. So the new additions are M.A. Ikwakar as Gorgon, Isabella Cornish as Crystal, Mike Mo as Triton, Sonia Balmores as Auroran, and Ellen Wolgam as as a yet unnamed character that sounds like she'll be the point of view character for the viewer. They will join an already impressive cast as Anson Mount as Black Bolt, King of the Inhumans, and Serinda Swan as Queen Medusa, Iwan Rihan as Maximus, and Ken Luing as Karnak. In addition, ABC and Marvel TV confirmed that Lockjaw, the giant teleporting dog, will also be introduced in the show. Lockjaw is freaking bomb diggity, man. It's
wow.
Awesome.
Lockjaw.
Wow. So, Marvel's getting super nerdy. That's basically what we're saying, because they're bringing characters that nobody ever thought they would see on television to the small screen. They're bringing Inhumans to the small screen. This is an awesome cast. Yeah.
It's going to be very different, too. Of course, we know that Marvel is owned by Disney, and ABC is also owned and partnered by Disney with ABC Studios. So it just makes for a kind of a great advocate, if you will, or a great channel to be able to debut the series on. And I think it's going to be doing an awesome job in debuting this in IMAX, which has there ever been a TV show debuted in IMAX?
Not that I'm aware of. No.
So this is a first. This is a first. This is crazy. So the pilot will be in IMAX.
Oh my God.
This is going to be a whole new territory for me. I don't know any of these characters.
Wow.
It's going to be a whole new world.
I can show you. No, I'm sorry. I'm not going to do that. Please. All right, Austin. Austin, get me off the singing thing here. Where are we going for now?
Well, let's talk about Disney getting back on the grid. The studio is in very early stages of development for the new Tron movie with
Tron.
The Oscar-winning actor, former Joker, well, still Joker, I guess, Jared Leto. In 2010, Disney revisited the world of Tron Legacy. The movie made $400 million worldwide, good enough to warrant interest in a sequel, but it's been a series of shutdowns and restarts for the sequel, and just as it seemed that it was heading towards pre-production, the studio pulled the plug for good in 2015. Sources say this new project is not a direct sequel and is being built out of the source code of deleted Tron 3 script. So they're taking things, I guess, from the script of the movie that never went to production. So that's cool. Leto is going to play a character named Ares, who has not appeared on screen before, but was a key player in that script. So what do you guys think of taking elements from the previous script, but kind of rebooting the whole universe?
I like how that was wrote. They're taking elements from the original script.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was kind of cool. Like, oh, really? That's a very interesting wording there.
Yeah.
But Jared Leto, I'm not sure how I feel about Jared Leto as, I don't know. He's a very good method actor. He definitely embodied the role of the Joker, and I've seen him in many other films before. I don't know. I mean, it's just one of those things. I'll have to see what it looks like and see his character to see if it really meshes in the world of Tron.
Yes. Has this happened before with any other previous movies where they take bits from previous scripts and create a new thing out of it? Is that a normal practice?
I'm sure it has, but it's never been included in like the marketing for, hey, we're taking elements. So apparently what they had with the other script was good. They just didn't want to continue that universe because the tracking for the numbers, and I guess it didn't do crazy box office numbers. But I like the idea of them rebooting it, but using elements. And like you said, Joe, I think Jared's a good actor, but just mixing him with Tron, it's weird to me. It just doesn't seem like a good fit, but I can't say anything until I see a trailer.
Well, you're talking about mixing bits and pieces, Lindsay. There's always Batman versus Superman, which mix so many pieces of so many storylines and story arcs. And
well, we know how that all turned out, right?
Yeah.
So I'm just going to hold out and wait for more, and hopefully it turns out.
Yes.
Pretty much all we can do. Yeah.
Well, guys, let's dive into a little bit of CW for you. It's already making sure that 27 is going to be better than 2016 by kicking off the new year with some very good news. In a surprise move, the CW has given early renewals to its original series for 2017-2018 season. Yes. Including all of the comic book series. Supergirl was renewed for season 3. The Flash will return for season 4. Arrow got season 6. And DC Legends of Tomorrow earned its season 3. Now, I'm really happy to hear about Legends because I know that that one's been up in the air based on their lower viewership and then moving to a new time slot and a whole bunch of things looming around, you know, characters leaving and all that stuff. So I'm glad to see that they're going to be returning for at least one more season. So that makes
it makes me really happy too, knowing that some of my favorite storylines that are going right now, well, that gives them plenty of room to expand those storylines and those story arcs to kind of allow those characters to develop and other characters to come in as well. So I'm really happy because when you're pretty much greenlit for another season, that allows the people that are writing it to actually start thinking a bigger picture long term, and as opposed to, well, are we going to make a season 4? Are we going to make a season 5? And so
the earlier the better. That news.
It definitely gives a lot of the guys that are behind that a lot more legroom to develop the stories, develop the characters, and just make fun for all of us to enjoy. And that's good news, Lindsay. Thank you so much for sharing that. But switching up the tempo here from the CW, we're going to dive now back into Star Trek Discovery, which is a brand new thing that we've been talking about the past few weeks here on PopX. We'll begin its cosmic journey closer to the new television season than expected. CBS Chief Les Moonves told investors during the Morgan Stanley Technology, Media, and Telecom Conference today that Star Trek Discovery should come to CBS All Access sometime late summer. Early fall, we're looking at probably kind of right now, so in that neck of the woods. Star Trek Discovery was previously slated for a May debut, but has been delayed, and he went on to say, quote, "It's important to get it right, and Star Trek is the family jewels, pretty much, of a franchise." So Moonves says, "We're not going to rush into it. There's a lot of post-production, but I'm very confident based on what I've seen so far." So there's a lot of – I'm kind of glad that they're not rushing this production. Mm-hmm. They're taking their time to develop these sound stages and develop these characters, because if you rush it, it's going to suck. And pretty much every Star Trek fan out there is going to eat them alive.
Yeah, they will.
And so I think that's good news that Moonves and all the people at CBS are kind of taking, you know, hey, let's not rush this. Let's make this right. So,
the early word on this show was, and these weren't like, okay, 100%, but sources were saying, okay, this show is really struggling right now, but we have to meet this deadline and we have to get it out at this specific time. And then I think they kind of got everything together and said, look, we need to make it as good as we can possibly make it, because if you mess up Star Trek, fans, like you said, Joe, are not going to be happy. So I like how they're taking their time, they're putting some more effort into it, and they're not pushing this out as fast as they can go. But now that they're getting that script together, they're like, hey, guys, it's not going to take as long as you thought. So I just can't wait to see Star Trek back on the small screen again. I've been waiting for a long time, and I think what they're doing here is really cool. And isn't this the first woman a captain of a ship? Is that true here?
I believe it has been confirmed that there is a lead female role, and I just think
Voyager didn't have a captain that was female.
Did Voyager have a captain?
I don't know. I don't know if it
Pretty
was the
sure
main.
Captain Janeway was a girl.
Was she the main girl though? Was she like the main character? Because what I heard is this would be the first like your Patrick Stewart, your Captain Kirk, you know what I mean? This would be like the first main.
But in Voyager, she wasn't captain of an Enterprise. She was captain of the Star Trek Voyager, she wasn't part of the NCC series. So I think if you follow in terms of the actual captain of an NCC Enterprise, I think this is in terms
that's
of
probably
that.
Then you would be correct on that. Then, yeah, I was going to say, wait a minute, there was a girl captain, dang it.
There was now, already a girl.
I saw it.
Are you crazy Trekkies out there? You can actually, if we're wrong in our facts, just let us know in our comments below. Just help us out, okay?
Heck so, yeah. All right, move. Yeah, guys, let's go ahead and move on. This is something that has me really excited because I actually just watched Spirited Away last week, one of the best anime movies I think ever made. It's a phenomenal movie, so if you guys haven't watched it, check it out. But Marvel today announced a new television anime series titled Marvel Future Avengers. The series will air on broadcast satellite channel D-Life beginning in the summer of 2017. Wow. The anime's main protagonist is Makoto, a boy who gains superpowers via a gain manipulation experiment. Makoto and other young characters will be apprenticed as future Avengers by the actual Avengers, including Iron Man, Hulk, Thor, Captain America, and the Wasp. Guys, this concept art in itself gets me very excited. I feel like this animation is going to be beautiful. What do you guys think?
I'm pretty excited. I think that when we get the Marvel Future Avengers, I think it's going to be great that we get to see characters of the old interact with characters of the new. And so it kind of seems like it's going to definitely be a team-driven type show, a younger, what do you call it? I don't want to say preteen, but kind of a younger generation type show that will get kids interested in the older characters as well as the newer mm-hmm. characters. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not mistaken, I think they're actually going to be following up with this with a comic book as well. Marvel, I remember seeing something about this, that they're going to actually release a comic series as well to coincide, which will have more of the in-depth story. As you watch the television show, you'll be able to get more backstory in the comics as well as you gotcha. Dive into that world and universe with the characters.
I like the artwork. The artwork yeah. is fun.
Yeah, the artwork's great.
All right. Well, following on the heels of DC Comics' Hanna-Barbera crossover annuals, could the company's next event be one that the members of the DC Universe team up with or puts them against the Looney Tunes?
What?
That would be crazy. Did you ever think that you'd see the day when Batman added Elmer Fudd to his rogues gallery?
Wow.
That's crazy.
Well, get ready, because four of DC's most popular superhero characters are about to join with the Looney Tunes cast.
Wow.
DC announced a quartet of DC Looney Tunes specials that mash up the DC and Looney Tunes universes. They didn't reveal any other details about the new books, so it is unclear if they are meant to be isolated, one-shot, like March's DC Hanna-Barbera crossovers, or if they're looking for a full-blown Justice League Looney Tunes crossover. Oh my gosh, that'd be so cool. Mm-hmm. The idea sounds slightly less strange in the wake of the recent crossovers like Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Justice League Power Rangers. Mm-hmm. The only other bit of information DC released with these covers was a request to stay tuned.
Wow.
That is wacky. That is wacky.
You wascally bat. Oh man, that is definitely going to be different. I couldn't imagine Elmer Fudd and Batman and Donald Duck, Daffy Duck, and just, could you imagine Froghorn Leghorn spraying off?
Or Tom and Jerry.
I'll show you now, boy. I'll show you now. Now you're going all down and now.
It's so weird.
How do you rap here?
Roadrunner in the Flash.
Oh my God. That's actually perfect.
That would be the best.
That's awesome.
That would be great. That would actually, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm at a loss. I don't really have much input for that. I'm just like, what are you saying in Looney Tunes?
Yeah.
All right, guys. Moving along here. The return of the ultimate cult classic TV show finally has a release date. At the end of 2015, Mystery Science Theater 3000 creator Joel Hodgson launched a Kickstarter to revive the show for an 11th season. The campaign was a huge success, and Hodgson secured the funds to produce 14 new episodes of the show, and it would be available exclusively on Netflix on April the 14th. Mystery Science Theater 3000.
That's so cool.
When the Kickstarter campaign launched back in 2015, Hodgson asked for a minimum of $2 million to produce the three new full length episodes at episodes of and if he could raise $3.3 million, he'd be able to do a 6 episodes, and $5.5 million would allow him to double it yet again to 12. The campaign eventually eclipsed $5.7 million with an additional $600,000 of funding. The team committed to 14 full episodes of Mystery Science Theater 3000. So, dude, that's – I remember watching this on Sci-Fi.
That's exciting. That's going to be so cool to see that come back.
And it looks like they got the return of the actual two puppets as well. Look at that.
Wow. Cool. Oh, Joe, over in the chat, Luke just said Tweety and Hulk. What do you think about that matchup?
Tweety and Hulk. That's awesome. I would see that.
I've got no comment. Look,
what's going on?
What are you doing to my childhood? You're jacking with my childhood.
What's happening?
It's like when you just took random action figures and matched them up and made them fight each other. This is exactly what they're doing.
Yes. Just pull out the toy box and you go to town with all the characters across all the universes.
I'm still at a loss. I know we just covered Mystery Science Theater, and I'm exclusively excited to see the shows come back on Netflix, but I just can't wrap my head around the DC Looney Tunes mashup. What?
I'm going to be doing mashups in my head all night long. I know. Joe, what do you think about this one?
Yeah. I just don't know, man. It's just so weird. All right, so let's move on to something a little more entertaining, as we will. Lindsay and I were a part of a exclusive pre-order this past week, and we both picked up something really fun and geeky and nerdy. And Lindsay, do you have yours ready?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I got mine ready too. Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1, let's do it. Wait, hold on. Here we go.
Ah!
Boom.
Whoa. Look at it. It's so pretty.
Whoa. Yeah, so we ended up getting ourselves a Nintendo Switch this past week. And so there is Link in real time at Kakikoro Village. So as you can see, I'm just kind of chilling out. It's really cool. I mean, I wish there was a way I could screen share this, but so here's
my
first.
Would you like me to share my other goodies that I got?
In just a second. I'm going to actually. So when you think about the actual. Can you hear that?
Like,
my dogs?
Yes.
My dogs are barking.
Austin. Showing off his new toy too.
Yeah. So when you think about the actual feeling of this, it's actually very light. You would think it's got a little weight to it, but I'm surprised that the screen part of it is actually really light. And
if you are one of the people that have Joe, you have a new iPhone.
Yeah.
Is it the Plus?
Yeah.
Is it like the biggest one? How does it compare in size to this?
Okay, so
I don't have
one. So this is the iPhone Plus. All right. So. And then this is...
It's really not that much bigger.
So it's about the size of an iPhone Plus.
Yeah.
It really is almost exactly the same size. That's
awesome.
Yeah,
the screen itself, because these detach. So the actual system itself is about the same size.
That's like the perfect size, though.
So let's see if I can get it to do the signature clip.
Just put it in your back pocket and try to sit down.
Check this out. See. All right, did you hear that?
That sound is cool. Just so satisfying.
Yes, it is. So, Lindsay, what do you think about yours so far?
I've been loving it so far. I wish there was a couple more titles available for the launch of the game, but this game is going to be my obsession for the next 2 months, I think. And even after I beat it, I'll probably start it again and do it all over. So I'm not too sad about that. My kids love that they can play with the little Joy-Cons because they're just the right size for their little hands. My husband, officially this is my husband's birthday present that I stole from him. he loves the fact that you can do the kickstand part. You think that's pretty cool because he can take it upstairs or downstairs or whatever. And the dock is like seamless. There's no extra setup. You just literally just drop this into the dock and it shows up on your screen. It is like video gaming for dummies at that point. There's just a little power button on the top and then you just follow the on-screen instructions to get your stuff going. Really amazing stuff. The graphics on this game is to die for. I you can't ask for anything more in a Zelda game. It has the biggest map in history and it's all free ranging. Anything that you can see, you can get to.
Oh, wow. I was going to ask how big is the world? Because they said how big it was going to be, and I didn't really believe. Okay, I don't, because that's just
it's kind of hard
incredible to me.
But those the horizon, you can walk all the way over to that horizon. There's probably more stuff on the other side.
That is awesome.
So there's, I mean, you can climb cliffs and walls. You can there's hang gliders, so you can fly. There's, you know, there's also the, you know, axes and arrows and swords and stuff. You can swim.
Oh wow.
There's your character is sensitive to heat and cold, and there's different types of weather that also affects you as well. There's a stamina bar that affects your life. Of course, you still have your heart system, and there's a little map down the corner. So it's a little, it's more.
Don't mind me, I'm just playing.
Go for it.
Yeah. So
how are the graphics compared to, because I know the graphics of the games online, they looked incredible, but it's just.
So there's my link right now.
There's not much difference at all.
I'm trying to get it without the glare.
I know, it's kind of hard to get the glare.
So
that looks phenomenal.
It is really great.
The menu screens are different too. They act a little bit more like your a more standard like RPG, like with the inventory where you equip different weapons and you collect food so you can create potions and elixirs, and there's different tunics and shields and things that you can, and pants and trousers and everything that give you more defense or whatever. Yeah, and that's the size of the game. And
so here we go. Are you ready?
It's like a DS.
No, don't do it. Don't do it. I was going to say that's been like a thing that's been going around the internet, and I think it's the most retarded thing ever. They have coated it with a nasty...
They've coated it with a chemical that where children can't put this in their mouth.
Yeah, it's supposed to be gross on purpose.
Really? Yeah, so...
Wow.
You will put this in their mouth. It is the most bitter tasting thing you have ever put in your mouth.
Good.
And I still got it on my. It's really great.
I have my boxes back here.
Oh, that's so nasty. Okay.
That is awesome.
So
that's the Switch. And I'm enjoying it. And there's a lot of. There is an online game system where a virtual console where you can download games and purchase them in real time. They've got that set up, which probably opens up a window to other things like Netflix. Voodoo, all that should be coming soon. So they do have an application ready to go. All the features of the Switch I haven't fully launched yet. So I'm really enjoying it, and it's probably the most beautiful Zelda game I've ever played.
And I got the special edition bundle, so it comes with the case. Actually your what do they call it? The Sheikah something or another? I can't remember
tablet,
the name.
The Shakira.
The tablet that Shakira. Your Link character carries around with you the whole game.
I just have a standard case. It's nothing.
It
nothing
also
glamorous.
Came with the soundtrack of the game.
Oh. Yeah.
A fancy coin. Because
I like that.
Sip a coin. And then of course the game.
Yep.
And a fancy little map. Again, as well. Oh. It's supposed to look like it's 100 years old or something, but
look at that. Hyrule.
Hyrule. Yes.
Yes.
Super good times.
That is a Switch, and we both were lucky to get it this past weekend. And like I said, it's a blast to play, and it looks amazing on a 1080p screen. It looks really, really crisp and clear. But
so if you can't find Joe or myself, you know what we're doing. We are playing Zelda.
Yeah.
Disconnected from the world.
So, Austin, you want to read our last news segment of the week?
All right, guys, let's wrap up the news. So what should end up being a very busy March at the box office kicked off with 20th Century Fox's latest Marvel mutant movie as Hugh Jackman played Wolverine for the final time and grossing $1 million on Friday, which includes $9.5 million in Thursday previews, brought in an estimated $85.3 million opening weekend. On top of that, Logan grossed an amazing, guys, $152 million from its day-to-date international rollout into 81 markets. That is a huge total, over $200 million, which is Fox's third biggest international opening after X-Men Days of Future Past and Avatar.
Wow. Holy,
dang.
Holy.
I really like that image. It's just like, let it
Dude. Rain. Logan is
bringing the
money in.
Bringing in the dough.
You know, it doesn't shock me. And we're going to actually just segue right on into that. We're going to be talking, obviously, if you've seen the show graphic, it is Logan. We're talking about Logan the film that just came out this past weekend. And before we roll into anything with the film, we're going to roll the spoiler alert. Uh-oh. So we'll be right back. Don't go nowhere.
Spoiler alert. Beyond this point, there is no return. You have been warned.
All right, so the spoiler alert has been rolled out. And Austin Burke, why don't you do the honors this week in opening us up and telling us your thoughts about Logan. Go for it.
You guys were listening at the beginning of the show. I am very excited to talk about Logan. So, when I was going into the movie theater on Thursday, opening night, with a bunch of my friends, we're all really jacked up, except for one guy who's never seen a Wolverine movie before, or an X-Men movie. And yeah. I said, listen, pal, just from everything that I've seen online, reading the non-spoiler reviews, I have a feeling you'll be fine. Because this is a movie, getting right on into it, this is a movie that you can see, if you've never seen a Wolverine movie in your life, if you've never heard of the character, if you don't like superhero movies, this is a movie that you can go and watch, and I have a feeling you're going to at least like it. Now, if you're watching this, obviously there's spoilers, so you've probably already seen the movie. And I know going into it, a lot of people had to keep their expectations in check because this movie is currently rocking a 93% on Rotten Tomatoes. Mm. It's currently rocking a 77 Rockstar. Metascore, and if you know anything about Metascore, one bad review can take it down a lot, and the 77 is pretty dang good. And on IMDb, I know it's early, but it's currently the 37th highest rated movie of all time. Yes.
Gosh. Ever.
Of all time. Now, that's user ratings. And sometimes, you know, users, they don't really know it. But the movies on there, I mean, they got The Dark Knight, The Godfather. So it's pretty – it's like, okay, those kind of are the best movies. So unless it keeps going down, it'll probably end up in the top 100. So that's pretty dang impressive. Wow. And I think the reason for that is, like I was saying earlier, guys, this is just one of those movies. It happens every so often when you get something that really just kind of speaks to your soul. You know what I mean? Because we've seen this character. This has never happened before. We have been watching the same character on the big screen for 17 years. Now, he's had some ups. He's had some downs. He's had some downs. But overall, every time Hugh Jackman's on the screen, he does a good job, no matter what movie he is in, right? And Logan is the prime example of that. This is the definitive Wolverine movie. There will never be a Wolverine movie, in my opinion, because you know they'll reboot it eventually. There will never be one that will top this, because this is that glorious, R-rated, just fantastic slashing and slicing and beautiful gore. But it's not pointless gore, right? Sometimes they'll throw gore in just so, hey, we've got blood, we've got gore. If you're a horror film, they're going to throw in this pointless crap. It's meaningless to the film, and they do it just because they're trying to, I don't know, attract people to the movie, right? But this is something that I think Wolverine has been missing. And no matter how good I think Days of Future Past is, when Wolverine stabs a guy and there's no blood, it's like, okay, we're missing an element there. But in this movie, if you're a fan of – and the guy that I went to the movie with, Chris, Wolverine is actually his favorite superhero. He walked out crying. I asked him, I said, man, why were you crying? Was it, you know, because the emotional scenes, when it gets emotional? He said, no. I shed tears because of just how awesome that action was. That's how awesome the violence and the action is in this movie. Aww. I mean, it's just – it's incredible to see people who aren't comic book fans respond to this movie. Kind of in vain how people were responding to Deadpool last year. Now, Deadpool's a lot of people's favorite X-Men movie. I think people are about to be really divided on which one's better. Is it Logan or is it Deadpool? For me, I'd put Days of Future Past in there too. But these two movies, man, Fox is doing something right. They're on a very good track right now.
Yes,
and
they are.
Apocalypse wasn't a terrible movie.
No, it
but
wasn't.
I'm talking Deadpool and Logan. If they can keep this up and keep these movies that need to be R-rated, and keep these, maybe, you know, we got New Mutants coming soon. We have X-Force. We have Deadpool 2. If they can keep this kind of script writing, directing, everything just flowed so well in these two movies. But back to Logan, I think Logan in the vein of kind of what Hell or High Water was last year.
Yes.
Which was one of, oh my God, one of my favorite movies. Got nominated for an Oscar. I think Logan is the Hell or High Water, I can't believe I'm saying that, of 2017. Because, and I know, Joe, you're going to hit on this a little bit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It had a Western flair to it. It had a horror. There are some elements like, okay, spoilers. We're getting to spoilers now, guys. The scene where the whole family dies, right?
Yeah.
The scene, Will Munson, the dad, and his entire family is murdered. That is straight out of a horror movie. Okay, yeah. And this is just something that I think Fox said, listen, James Mangold, you do what you want to do. You direct how you want to direct and you write how you want to write. And he brought us something that is completely glorious without, I think, the girl who was cast, I think her name is Daphne, who was cast as Laura or X-23. Without her performance, I don't think this movie would have worked. She was phenomenal, the best child actress I've seen in a long, long time. I think the supporting cast is great. Caliban. Man, a character who we barely saw in the trailers, who was a integral part of the movie. I think Stephen Merchant did a fantastic job. And I think Professor X gave a performance that was good enough to get nominated. If the Oscars came out tomorrow, I think he should be nominated for Best Supporting Actor. I think Hugh Jackman for Best Lead Actor. And I think Logan is my favorite movie of the year so far. So guys, I feel so strongly about this movie, and I need to go watch it again because I think this is a movie. I feel like there are two things that are going to happen. If I watch it again, I'm either going to A, love it just as much or more the second time, or B, the slow parts might take me out of it because there are parts in this movie where it kind of slows down just a little bit. But it wasn't enough to make me say, hey, I don't want to go back again, because as soon as I walked out of that theater, I wanted to go right back in, but nobody would do it with me. So,
no.
But guys, I loved Logan. I know we'll probably do scores at the end.
Yeah, we're going to do scores at the end. So,
but I really recommend to anyone who is listening or watching this podcast. But I want to hear your guys' thoughts because I've not really heard anything yet.
Okay, so Lindsay didn't get a chance to see it this weekend.
I didn't.
Nor did Mike. Oh, it's you and me, Burke. It's Burke on Burke this weekend. So
Burke, here we go.
Oh gosh. All right. So you know, being a huge fan of Patrick Stewart right out of the gate. Having seen him in his earlier works as Jean-Luc Picard on Star Trek The Next Generation, and even before that, he played so many iconic roles in film and television. Seeing him in this role and in this performance, it kind of felt like – I don't want to say this because it sounds really bad, but you know when an actor gets older in age and he does those iconic roles and he does those iconic things that define him in his age? I think, honestly, this will be one of those moments when Patrick Stewart – is defined as an older actor, and he is so mature and so wise in this role. It kind of foreshadows to me, you know, when Johnny Cash released the song "Hurt," which is a Trent Reznor song. We know that just a few years later, he passed away. And I'm not saying anything, foreshadowing anything about Patrick Stewart's legacy. I freaking love Patrick Stewart. But, you know, he is an older actor. And I felt like going into that, this is a role that he put his heart and soul into because the past 20 years of his life has been dedicated to Charles Xavier and the Star Trek Generation franchise, if you go 30 years back. So I felt, and there was a scene, and spoiler alert, there was a scene about towards the middle of the film when the Charles Xavier does succumb and has passed away. And Hugh Jackman, for the first time in his 20-year legacy, we see Hugh Jackman become emotional over a death of someone. And the way he acted that and the way that was portrayed and just his emotion in that moment and just how even the lip quivering and the tears coming down his face and X-23 looking up to him. Dude, I mean, I just had to do one of these things because it was just, I had to wipe my eye. It was so emotional.
A little dust in your eye.
I had a little bit of an allergic reaction. I can't figure out why. but for me, it was really cool to see Caliban, who is kind of this – we didn't really see much of him in the trailer. We saw him in the trailer, but he was just kind of this shadowy figure, and we didn't understand that he would have such a prominent role in the film. And – whoever made the trailers for these movies, hats off to you, because that's the way a trailer should be made.
Yes,
because, sir. Because when you get the grittiness, I keep going back to Iron Man 3 when we had the Mandarin, and we always thought it was the actual Ben Kingsley. Mm-hmm. We thought it was Ben Kingsley as the Mandarin, and when we actually got in the set and the theater, we were like mind blown. It wasn't them. It was a huge plot. I kind of felt that way with Caliban a little bit. I kind of felt that Caliban was just inserted in there and purposely and planned and well thought out. Caliban is definitely from the comics. If you've not read any of the X-Force or New Mutants, you may want to back up and read your history.
He was in X-Men Apocalypse, which I think is awesome. We just saw him last year and now we see an older version. I think that's amazing.
Yeah, it was great. And I just think... Now, let me talk about Hugh Jackman for a second. The way the storyline evolved around Hugh Jackman and Logan and Wolverine was brilliant. I think what had been happened to him as a mutant, especially in the Weapon X program, has ended up as an older individual, ended up killing him in the long run. Yeah. So his adamantium skeleton, as you get older, your body shuts down, your immune system shuts down, you can't fight the infections. And guess what's wrapped in every cell and structure of his body and his bone? Metal. And so he's pretty much getting sick from the inside out. And you see that when he actually, his claws come out in one scene, he's got his hands gripping a sink. You can see the pus coming out of one of the wounds of it. You could just see that his body is fighting his own legacy as a mutant. And, it was really powerful to see him in that role. And up until the very end, when we saw the finale, which we'll get to a little bit later, it was just beautiful. The whole thing. I just keep going back to Johnny Cash's Hurt and some of those older songs that just kind of really encompassed the whole legacy of Logan. And they captured that grittiness, that Western, I don't want to say spaghetti Western, I want that gritty Western vibe. And it really catapulted the whole storyline into a whole. Now, if they would have done this in a city setting or, you know, Washington, D.C. or something like New York, it would not have, I don't think it would have panned out as great. No. But seeing the dust, it kind of added a Mad Max kind of feel to it. You know what I'm saying?
Great. So great call.
Nice.
So what do you, so Austin, do you have any things that, well, any things that actually kind of jumped out at you in the film? Things that just like, oh, wow, that's cool.
Well, like I said, I mean, X-23, the first time you see her on screen, guys, the first time you see this little girl on screen, you can already tell this girl has – she's creepy. She was really creepy. And she didn't talk for the first hour of the film. But when you see her go off in that very first scene where she attacks everyone, she brings out the severed head and rolls it in front of the villain – and her claws are slowly coming out, and he's just, no. I think I love that because throughout the entire film, and I liked his villain character as well. I thought he brought a lot to it. But throughout the whole film, you can see he is terrified of this little girl. He is terrified from him throwing people in front of him, like, go get her. And at the main end, when the kids are, you know, doing what they did to him and messing him up, you can just see how terrified he is because he knows that these kids are so much more powerful than he is. Mm-hmm. That's why they tried to take him out. Another thing that popped out of me, Joe, the clone of Wolverine. The
X-24. Yeah.
I should have seen it coming in the movie because they build up to it. I know that's something from the comics, but when it happened, when he stabbed Professor X, when he killed Professor X, my mind was blown, and I just felt so stupid. I was like, Austin, why did you not see this coming? But the fact that I didn't see it coming is kind of amazing because it just threw everyone off in the theater. And when I first saw that scene, I thought it was a dream sequence.
Yeah, I
thought, okay, Professor X is dreaming that Wolverine stabs him, but then the little girl runs in there from the family, and he kills her. And then he kills the mom, and then he kills the brother. And I'm like, are you kidding me? They are actually – the fact that Fox let them do that scene and kill Professor X in that manner, and the fact that Professor X thought it was Logan that did it, and he had to come in there kind of crying, trying to explain to Professor X that it wasn't him who killed him, the emotion of that scene. I'm getting chill bumps. The emotion.
I'm gonna cry right now. You guys haven't seen this movie yet,
Lindsay. God. It is just. It's an integral part to that movie, and I think it was a scene that just tore me up inside.
And you actually hit on a really good thing there. X-24 is an exact carbon copy clone, but made a little bit better than Wolverine was.
Yeah.
And the cool thing about this is we see old man Logan and then young Wolverine Logan with X-24. Awesome. So you see two different Hugh Jackmans in this film. Yes. You see a younger version of himself and an older version of himself.
What?
And it's really cool. And, of course, that leads up to the big climactic battle. But, Austin, going back to what you're saying about how the family in the farmhouse, I don't understand how Fox let that one by either. I was completely flabbergasted because there is kids dying. There is a mother dying, and it is gruesome, and it is graphic. And
straight
out of a horror film. And there's blood, there's guts, there's gore. I mean, it's nothing.
I'm gonna have nightmares for 2 weeks if I watch it.
Yes, you are.
But it was a great moment and a turning point in the film when we understand the character reveal of X-24. And I understand the weight of that is that scene introducing X-24 officially into the movie had to be a pivotal moment where there is death, there is calamity, there is destruction, there is turmoil. And, you know, you're not just going to show a quick, you know, him killing Charles and then, you know, off fighting Wolverine. It needs to really bring you in and make you feel emotionally attached, not only to just Charles Xavier, Patrick Stewart, but the family as well. You feel emotionally connected because they're so down to earth and they just want to get by and make ends meet.
Just want you to really, really hate the big bad.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Yeah.
It kind of reminds me how in The Dark Knight when you first see the Joker and he's taking out the members of the people that he's robbing the bank with, you had to have that because you had to establish how evil this man really was.
Psychotic.
Right?
This
scene in this movie, if they wouldn't have had something to this magnitude to establish this is a force to be reckoned with, I don't think it would have worked. This character of X-24, it could have fell apart so easy. But the fact that they pulled off a clone of Wolverine in a serious rated R movie in 2017, that's impressive. And I think that is one of the many reasons why this movie works.
And spoiler alert, it is X-24 that does bring down Logan. So let's talk about the ending right quick, and then we'll go on into some Easter eggs. So the finale, the New Mutant kids, as we're going to call them, the New Mutants, they give Logan this elixir that is supposed to give you just a momentary kind of rush.
Steroids.
And it was kind of crazy. It was roid rage. And so, Hugh's running up the hill in the final scene and, you know, he's huffing and puffing. He's out of breath. He's out of shape. And all of a sudden he injects that stuff into his neck. And we see a glimpse of the old Wolverine for about a good solid 2 minutes as he just slash and bash and
awesome.
Just, oh my gosh, man. It was great. And then all of a sudden, you know, was it, what is the guy with the robotic arm? Was it Rice?
What was his name?
I can't remember his name.
Pierce.
Pierce says, well, as soon as the drug's wearing off, hey, Logan. And, of course, it wears off, and he loses his ability to heal. So when he injected this stuff into his neck, he can't heal. And then, of course, X-24 steps in and just does multiple stabs into his abdomen, and that pretty much makes Logan succumb. And that was the – what did you think that the climactic battle, Austin, do you think it was just too rushed, or do you think it was just perfect?
Well, if you get stabbed by a tree stump, I don't care if you're Wolverine or not, you're dead because that dude got jabbed with a tree stump. Now, I will say this. I loved the death. I thought the death was very sad and emotional. There was, pollen in the theater. I don't know what was going on, but my eyes were, I don't know. But if there's one thing I will say, one thing, not rushed, but just it was kind of quick. You know, the movie had went on, and I think this is a testament to the movie too, because it was 2 hours and 50 minutes, but I could have watched it for 30 more minutes. But once you get to that scene, it's like, okay, they're going to do this big battle. And I see why it was that way, because he couldn't heal, right? So once you take two jabs, one to the armpit and one to the shot in the head, it's kind of hard to come back from that. But it was just boom, you're done, and there was nothing else he could do. So it was a little – there was I would have liked to have seen a little bit longer of a battle.
Yeah, yeah.
But when she goes up to him and she's about to cry and she says, Dad, oh, man.
That's a little tough.
Oh, so X-24 versus Wolverine versus Logan, it kind of sounds a little bit like your battle with Shadow Link and Link going at each other.
Kind of.
That is perfect.
That's a great –
Another thing, the bullet, I kind of knew where it was going. I could kind of see, okay, this is how they're going to kill X-24. But I like the fact that it was X-23 that did it. Because when she took on X-24, dude, she was doing a good job. I'll just say that. She was doing a good job. And then finally she killed him and, you know.
Well, talking about the bullet, we're actually going to go right on into our Easter eggs, and the bullet is mentioned in the Easter eggs this week. Okay. And so, Austin, you and I are going to quick fire back through these, okay? So the first one on the Easter eggs this week, and then right at the end, me and Austin are going to give our final count on the review number, okay? So hang out with us just a couple of 10 more minutes or so. So James Hallett, that is the name on Logan's driver license, and it reads James Hallett. Now, what is this name? Believe it or not, that's the actual real name for Logan. The terrible name was revealed 27 years after Wolverine's creation in the controversial Origin miniseries that finally explained where he came from. He was from a rich Canadian family in the late 1800s, as it turns out, and we saw a little bit of that in the beginning of Logan X-Men Origins. Remember that when he's with the family in Northern Canada?
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Okay. That's awesome. So our next one is Alkali, and is it Transigen or Transigen?
Transigen.
So the name of the company that created Laura and her friends is given as Alkali or Transigen. This suggests a link to Alkali Lake, William Stryker's secret base from the X-2 movie where Wolverine was experimented and had adamantium fused into his bones. I thought that was really cool.
And some of these Easter eggs are really cool. So,
awesome.
So I don't know if you noticed it or not. There was a scene where Logan was getting into bed and he's putting some things on his dresser, and then we see the katana. The famous katana from Wolverine, the movie. And no, not the Suicide Squad character and her soul. Not that
cool
katana. We're referring to the Japanese samurai sword that can be hanging on the wall of Logan in Caliban's home. The katana is a reference to Wolverine's many adventures in Japan, which was the inspiration for his previous on-screen outing, The Wolverine. Logan can also be spotted handling the dog tags where he received in X-Men Origins Wolverine as well.
Mm-hmm. So Gabriella or Gabrielle, Orange is the New Black's Elizabeth Rodriguez plays Gabriella Lopez, the Mexican nurse who helps Laura escape from the facility where she was born and raised. There doesn't seem to be a person of that name in Marvel's existing continuity, but interestingly, early last year and before shooting began on Logan, a new clone of Wolverine called Gabrielle Kinney, basically a younger version of Laura, was introduced. So that's a pretty sweet tie-in from the comics.
Yes, and they've pretty much done so many nods, references, Easter eggs, things that fans of the loyal comic series would know and understand. There's a lot of that in here as well. And number five here on the Easter eggs is Outback. After the X-Men seemed to die in battle in the late 1980s, they were instead spirited away to live in hiding in the Australian Outback at a place called Cooterman's Creek. First, they had to fight off its original occupants, which were the Reavers. Wolverine's Mexican hideout, which we see here in the film as we got on the screen right now, in Logan is not dissimilar in appearance. And who would show up to chase him out of his amazing but Donald Pierce and his cyborg Reavers? There you go. Yes.
The Reavers were awesome characters. So number six is No More Mutants. We learned during the events of the film that no mutants have been born on the Earth for 25 years. Although the reason turns out to be very different, with Dr. Xander Rice explaining that they had used food additives to suppress the mutant X gene. It's pretty smart. The state of affairs still matches the long-running Marvel storyline in which mutants had stopped being born thanks to a spell cast by Scarlet Witch, who is, of course, a part of the X-Men continuity line in the comics.
Yes. Too bad we can't get Scarlet Witch in an X-Men universe. I'm just saying. Also, if I don't know if you were listening to some of the dialogue, but there was a name drop for the Statue of Liberty. Professor X's ramblings about the Statue of Liberty eventually turned out to be in relation to the Liberty Motel where Laura and Gabriella were staying. Presumably, Logan initially assumed that Charles was referring and remembering their first adventure in the original X-Men film, where the team had to climb the New York City icon in order to thwart Magneto's villainous plot. And I definitely do remember that. It was a definitely nice little throwback.
Mm-hmm. I remember that too.
So number eight is Logan and Caliban's love nest. The film plays the domestic pairing between Wolverine and Caliban for laughs. But if you think that Logan being in a same-sex relationship is completely out of the question, you would be wrong. It has precedent that one or the alternate versions of Wolverine was in a relationship with Hercules. Yes, that Hercules. Hercules.
Well, at least he's got good taste.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, it's
all
just.
I gotta say about that.
I don't have much about that. Go, Logan. Go, Logan. Okay. All right. So, number nine here, we have X-24, the unstoppable. You've heard us talk about him already before. The unstoppable killing machine doppelganger that Logan faces in the movie is designed as X-24. In the comics, Lara is also known as X-23. That was because she was the first successful clone created from a damaged sample of Wolverine's DNA after 22 failed attempts. And it looks like X-24 was even more of a success.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so number 10 is Shane. Now run home. Run home to your mother and tell her everything is all right and there aren't any more guns in the valley. That's how she said it in the movie. That was my impression of Laura. Laura watches George Stevens' classic 1953 Western in their Oklahoma City hotel room. And of course, it is referenced again at the film's end. We don't think we could ever watch it from now on without bawling constantly for 2 hours. Amen to that.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yay, Oklahoma City name drop. Woo!
It makes Lindsay happy there.
That makes me happy.
So number 12, this is the Westchester incident. Now, this is one of the most iconic incidents that was probably in the film itself.
So curious.
Let me set up a little background for you, something we didn't talk about. Charles Xavier in this film, Patrick Stewart's role, he is suffering from dementia, and he is the most powerful psychosis mutant of all, and he is suffering with mental breakdown. What happens when a lead power mutant such as Charles Xavier has a mental breakdown of dementia? Everyone around him dies.
Those scenes were so amazing.
The film obliquely refers to the Westchester incident, which it becomes apparent involved in Charles's increasingly uncontrollable powers, killing all the students at his school. This references Mark Miller and Steve McNiven's Old Man Logan storyline, which was an influence on Logan. Except that in that storyline, set on a rundown future Earth, it was Wolverine who was manipulated by the Spider-Man villain Mysterio into killing the students and X-Men. So think about that, the Westchester incident.
Not the children.
Yeah, it was something that we will never see, but we'll always be curious about how it actually happened.
Exactly.
So number 13 is horse telepathy. Charles demonstrates that his powers haven't become completely useless when he calms some escaped horses, though it would have been better for their owners in the long run if he hadn't have even tried. Although we mainly tend to focus on his power over humans, Professor X can communicate with animals as well, which is something that's never really been hit on in any of the movies, as demonstrated in the above panel, where he took advantage of a helpful parrot. We can't help but feel his animal telepathy has been critically underused. How many times could an attacking scurry, the proper collective noun of squirrels, have helped the X-Men to defeat their enemies? I would love to see squirrels fight with the X-Men.
That would be great. I would just like to see it like a bunch of just badgers or beavers or something just go. You know, wouldn't it be crazy? It'd be like, Yeah, the attack of the killer badger.
That's awesome.
Lindsay Badger.
Hey, you know what? Honey badgers, they don't give a hoot, so. Hey,
they tire you up, man. They tire you up, I'm telling you. Number 14, guys, this is the Mutant Kids. Lara has a lot of Transigan friends, many of who haven't been able to place. But the name Bobby could be a reference to Robert Iceman Drake. Now, I don't know if you picked up on that, or more likely a clone created from his DNA. The de facto leader of the group is Richter in the comics. Julio Esteban Richter is the Mexican mutant who can send seismic vibrations through the earth. We saw a little hint of that here. He was most closely involved with the X-Men spinoff group X-Factor and is currently in the same-sex relationship with his interdimensional warrior Shatterstar, which is probably won't focus on the spinoff, but you never know.
That's pretty sweet. So our final point, Xander Rice's father, Richard E. Grant's villainous Dr. Xander Rice, who was involved in the creation of Laura in the comics too, mentions that the involvement of his father in mutant experimentation happened. In Marvel Comics, his father, Dale Rice, was a scientist in the Weapon X program that was killed by one of their escaped test subjects, a chap known as Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah, oh, and so like he's no good.
Yes. Yeah, he's no good at all. So all right, Austin. So are you ready to reveal your number for Wolverine out of 10?
Oh, let's do this, dude. You go first. I'm scared.
So after really meditating on this, and I really wish I could have saw it a second time to really give you a number rating. Because there was just so much visually to look at. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to go with an 8.9 out of 10. And of course, Deadpool, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I rated Deadpool a 9.0 out of 10, if I'm not mistaken. But I think, honestly, it could easily take that 9 slot. There was some continuity in the middle. There was some storyline. I understand that the storyline had to be developed and those moments had to happen for us to become emotionally attached to the character X-23 and Logan. Mm-hmm. I do understand that. And so with any movie like this, you just can't go in all 100%, 2 hours of just nonstop action. That just does not make sense. Any film, even when you go to Avengers Age of Ultron, or any of the other big Winter Soldier, there's moments of slowness where the story and the characters have to develop and things have to be said. Yeah. And I feel the exact same way. And that happened here a couple times in Logan. So that's the only reason why I didn't bump it up to the 9 slot. You know, there's I don't know. I don't have any other way to describe it. I think there's ways that could have been done maybe to make it more exciting, but instead of not so slow. But understand, Logan's an old man. So we have to go in his pace.
That's true.
You see what I'm saying?
That's true.
Not at the director. So that's that was 8.9 for me.
8.9, man. That's a great score. So like you did, I gave Deadpool a 9.0 out of 10. I thought it was a fantastic movie. And when it comes to rating a movie, I'm probably more harsh than I should be. And I kind of like seeing a movie a second time, like you said, Joe, because it's really just hard to focus on everything that you need to focus on the first time around, because most of the time you're just so in awe of what's going on screen just because how amazing technology is today. But Logan was a movie that I think did something that nobody thought it could do. Nobody thought it could live up to this, to say what the first trailer was.
It did.
It was a hardcore Western with elements of horror, it had people crying. I mean, there was tears probably in every single person.
Intense emotion.
Watching the movie, I mean, it was just a movie that evoked so many emotions. I think it was incredibly crafted. I think James Mangold is severely underrated as a director, and I think this movie proves how amazing he is when there's not studio interference like there was in the last Wolverine movie, which is what I think ruined the third act. But I'm actually going to give Logan a 9.5 out of 10.
Wow.
It is one of, if not my favorite X-Men movies ever made. I've not decided yet. It's between this and Days of Future Past with Deadpool like right next to it. But I think Logan's incredible, and I think it's the perfect finale. And you know, Hugh Jackman really deserves this.
He does.
Really deserves this because he woke up one night. He said he had this idea. He pitched it to James Mangold. They got writers on board and they created this movie and Fox let him do it. So thank you, Fox. Thank you, Hugh Jackman.
Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, Patrick. Yeah.
I mean, who gave, I think, like Joe said, I think the performance of his career, I really do, because it's so hard to play somebody with dementia and so hard to play somebody who's constantly having seizures that are killing other people. I mean, this is, everything was just so well crafted. I have no choice but to give it a 9.5 out of 10. Just because of how attached I am to that character. Joe, there were definitely problems. My score may end up kind of either going one direction or the other. But in the end, right now, after one viewing, I'm giving it a 9.5 out of 10.
Yeah.
That's pretty darn impressive.
And no, it's crazy.
So, where's my phone? I'm ordering tickets.
So, you know, it's that good, Lindsay. I'm not going to lie. And, you know, with that said, that does conclude our segment on Logan. And we hope that you guys do, if you're obviously listening to this podcast, hopefully you've already went to the cinema. You didn't heed the warnings. Well, you heeded the warnings and you went and watched the film before you listened to the podcast. So hopefully you did that. But we would love to hear what you think about Logan. And if you want to, leave us a comment in the comments section below this video here on YouTube, or you can actually comment us on Facebook or on Twitter as well. And if you and a bunch of your friends go out and see Logan this weekend, hey, use the hashtag YoPopX and let us know about it. And as a matter of fact, as always, if you see something exciting on the shelves or at your local comic book shop in general or in the theater or around geek culture, let us know and use our social media hashtag YoPopX. Look at it. It's right there on the screen. You can't miss it. And so if you use the hashtag... and if you use the hashtag, we could post your post on a future episode right here on PopX Live. So remember, hashtag YoPopX.
Also, we are part of an amazing network called the Gonna Geek Network. For all things even more geeky, head over to GonnaGeek.com and check out some amazing podcasts from our home network.
That's right. And as Joe mentioned earlier, be sure to follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, Twitter, and Pinterest. Everywhere is at PopXCast. We love to hear from our listeners. Make sure you send comments and suggestions to popxcast@gmail.com. And also for future and past shows, make sure to check out our official website, www.popxcast.com.
Mm-hmm. And I am Austin Burke at the Burkinator on the Twits and the Instagrams. And I also have a YouTube page where you can go right now and watch my Logan review right after I saw the movie. My excitement level was sky high. So if you want to see somebody embarrass themselves in a parking lot, go check that out.
And you can find me, Lindsay Badger, at LR Badger all over the interwebs.
And I am Joe Burke, aka at Rodcav on the internet. That's ROTCAV as in Victor. And of course, hats off to the amazing Team PopX, Lindsay Badger, for just sharing out us on social media like a plague. I'm just messing
with
you.
You're welcome.
She does an amazing job sharing us out to many groups and Facebook and all the many social internet things you can imagine. I'm too old for that kind of stuff.
I'll tell anyone that'll listen.
And we want to also thank Mr. Austin Burke for just doing his amazing job as always every week. Austin, you are a blessing to have on the podcast. And Mr. Mike Ippolito all the way up in Catlanta, Georgia. Mike. Holding it down on the graphic love and Rogers, Wild Stallions. Oh my gosh. You guys, you know there's gonna be a Bill and Ted 3 in the works, right?
Oh, I'm ready for it. Bring it.
Oh yes.
Yeah. Whoa.
Well, it's gonna be old.
Wow.
All right, so
we want to give an announcement right quick before we go off the air is PopX is changing to a bi-weekly format. So next week, we won't have a show, but the week after that, we'll be right back and we'll be on with March 19th, episode 52, Kong Skull Island film review and more. Ooh. And you know what? If you guys are nice to us, we may even throw in a little bit of a Power Ranger review as well. Ooh. So we may do a twofer. So I do know that I'm going to go see Power Rangers this week coming, and yes. I'm going in with kind of a clean conscience. Like, this is either going to be really good. Or it's going to be really bad.
I had somebody ask me tonight if we were doing a review on that movie, so it'd be awesome if we could pull off a
twofer. We may split it up 15 minutes on Kong, 15 minutes on Power Rangers. Stay tuned, all right? So remember that. So we're going to bi-weekly. No show next week. We'll be back on March 19th, okay? Episode 52. So from all of us here at PopX Cast, thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. And we'll see you in 2 weeks right here on PopX Cast.
From everyone at PopXCast, thanks for listening. Be sure to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and subscribe for more great content. Drop us an email, popxcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook and YouTube, all at PopXCast. Get your geek on.